Hello, we're back here continuing to look at our grace in action, grace in daily living, and a big part of that is God looking at the heart and God forgiving and God looking beyond rules. There are plenty of places in the Old Testament where somebody breaks one of the laws or commandments and they reap the consequences very quickly. But as you study those records, you find out that it's because in their hearts, the people just didn't love or trust God. But then there are people like Jonah who really love and trust God and really care for his people, but they're just not happy with what's going on. So they do disobey God, but it's out of a good, kind heart. Like when Paul went to Jerusalem, he was wrong, but in his heart was a desire to help God's people. He wasn't going there out of pride or worshiping a false god or turning away from God. He just got confused and distracted, but in his heart, he was really trying to help God's people. And we really see a very similar situation here in the book of Jonah, where God is telling Jonah to go to Nineveh, but Jonah does not want to go because he knows Nineveh is a very, very powerful country. You know what it'd be like living in a little town in West Virginia and being told to go to New York City or something. Or, you know, you're living in a little tiny, tiny country in Europe or Africa and God tells you to go to a really big country and pray, knowing that the big country could stomp on you if they chose to. So, Jonah was just concerned about that. Now, bear with me a minute while I make a note to myself. I'm going to add Paul going to Jerusalem to my list of topics for our weekend in November. It's here somewhere. We'll get there. Just got to scroll down the page. Oh, it's already in my notes. Okay, good. I thought of something new. I didn't. Okay, Jonah chapter 1. Here we go. The recorder is going. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. I mean, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire back in the days of, back in the days of when Samaria was taken captive, even before the Babylonians came and took Jerusalem. And although it was no longer the capital of a huge empire, it was still a very large, important, powerful city. So arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship. Joppa is a town now called Jaffa. It's on the coast, sort of northwest of Jerusalem, or today north of what we call Tel Aviv. But it's on the coast, and that's where ships come in. So he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, which, as far as I know, refers to Spain. So let me double check that. I'm 99% sure that refers to Spain. Let's do a little quick look here. Of course, a lot of these ancient place names, people are sort of guessing. Yeah. Most people think it was Spain, so that's good enough. But the point is, it's the opposite direction. To go to Nineveh, you'd go northeast. To go to Spain, you'd go straight west. So he's going the opposite direction. So, verse 3, he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord. Now, at this point, God could have given up on him and just let the ship sink, but God looked at Jonah's heart. He knew that in his heart he was trying to protect God's people. And we'll see this as we read through the book. And because of that, God was willing to work with him. Again, it's like when Gideon wanted to go do God's will, but he wasn't quite sure, so he asked for the wet fleece and the dry fleece and a few other signs. It wasn't that he didn't trust God. It was that he just needed a little coaxing. But God knew that in his heart, Gideon wanted to serve God and save God's people, which he did. So God worked with him, and God worked with Jonah. And you see, that's the difference often between God and people. People see one thing they don't like, whether it's their personal preferences or whether it's something they've read in the Bible that says you shouldn't do, and they immediately get all self-righteous and haughty and talk about how terrible somebody is. And some groups will actually throw people out. Other groups will just ignore them or demote them. Of course, there are some Christians that actually love people and know that God loves them, but there are a whole lot that are very judgmental. I've read things like there's nothing harsher in the world than Christian love, talking about very judgmental Christians, and that's often the case. And that could have been the case with God and Jonah, but God did not do that. God worked with Jonah and helped him work through his difficulties and go from there. So, Jonah gets on the ship going west to Tarshish. But, verse 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, mighty tempest, a big storm in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. It must have been very scary because they were delivering goods that would be sold for a lot of money, but they were willing to throw it all overboard to save the ship and thus save their lives. But Jonah was gone down to the sides of the ship, and he lay. Remember that? Like in the Gospels, same thing. Jesus Christ was out in the Sea of Galilee, and there was a great storm, and Jesus Christ was just in the hold of the ship, quietly sleeping. So was Jonah, because he was confident that what he was doing was good for God's people. So the shipmaster, verse 6, came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And I have no idea how that casting lots worked to find the right guy, but that's who it fell upon. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What's thy country? What people art there? Tell us what's going on. And he said, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. Notice he's not blaming God. He's saying, I reverence, I respect, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto them, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, that's Jehovah, because he had told them. Verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me out and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, it worked, it moved, and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth unto the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And it's most likely he died in the fish's belly and then was raised from the dead when he was spit up on the shore near Nineveh. Because it's hard to believe being in a fish's belly for 3 days and surviving. Which is why it's such a great, what they call a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ being in the ground for 3 days and three nights. Verse 1 of chapter 2, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And again, it's most likely this is when he first went into the fish's belly before he died, but we don't know exactly. That's just the most likely. Verse 2, and he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell, the grave, I cried, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. So you see, Jonah's great heart for loving God and trusting God, even though he disobeyed God in an effort to protect God's people, he still loved and trusted God. And so people, well, like it says in Samuel, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. And that's why we can't judge people, because we don't know their hearts. That's up to God. We can love people, we can encourage them, we can share the scriptures with them, we can pray with them, but we don't judge them because we don't know what's in their heart. And they may to us look like total flakes, but God may love them and encourage them. I mean, look at Jonah. He went directly contrary to the word of the Lord, just like Paul going to Jerusalem. But in his heart, he loved God and was trying to help God's people, and that's what God saw. So, verse 6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was above me, was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that, I have vowed, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. And from God can even talk to fish. Remember, he got that guy, what's his name, who was called by the king of Moab. He got the donkey to speak to the fella. Amazing. At any rate, verse 10, the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. So now he's up the coast, northeast of Joppa. He still has to travel overland a while to get to Nineveh, but he's moving in that direction. Verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And Joseph arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. The implication being that it would take 3 days to walk across the city. I mean, we have cities like that, like New York and Los Angeles, Chicago. If you were walking, even those cities, I don't know if it would take you 3 days to walk across, but point, it was a very large city. Verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. Yeah, so he entered the city and went a whole day's journey. So he's about a third of the way through the city. Maybe that put him downtown at that point. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh, what? Believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth. And this was not even the Israelites. These were not the people of the true God. But when a prophet of the true God showed up and preached, they believed him. They repented. They changed their minds. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Verse 7, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from his violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And that's what Jonah didn't want, because he didn't want Nineveh to be trusting God and prospering so that they could turn then and attack the Israelites. Oh, and this was way back. I'm sorry. This was way back in that time before they came and destroyed Samaria. And God saw their works, verse 10, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said he would do unto them, and he did it not. Chapter 4, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country, before I fled into Tarshish? For I know that thou art, what, a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. Because he looks at people's hearts. And even though Nineveh was a city worshiping false gods with all kinds of evil, when they were confronted with the word of the Lord spoken by Jonah, they repented. They changed their minds and turned from their evil. Verse 3, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Is it a good idea for you to be mad that you spoke, preached the word and people believed it? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up over Judah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. It came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished himself to die, and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, see how God is working with Jonah? How he's patient with him? Reminds me of that time in with Gideon in the book of Judges, where Gideon's not sure whether he should go down and to the where the, I think it was the Moabites, were down in the valley. God said, go down and listen, and that'll convince you. And he went down and heard the enemy soldiers who were convinced that Gideon's army was going to win. So God worked with him. And here God's working with Jonah. It says, verse 9, he says, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest us grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, where more than 60, that's 120,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So God said, if you're so worried about the gourd, shouldn't I be worried about them? But that's just a great example. You learn a couple things. You learn that even though Jonah was mad at the Ninevites, God wasn't. Because he saw their hearts that they turned from their evil practices to trust the true God. And God also didn't. This reminds me a little bit of a prodigal son, you know. Who's more prodigal? Who's more wasteful? The Ninevites that had been worshiping false gods and were a threat to Israel? Or Jonah, who had didn't want to admit that the Ninevites might get it together? A little bit like the prodigal son. The prodigal son, the wasteful son, did get himself together. Then it was the other son who was still negative thinking. He was so perfect, and the younger son was so evil. So God cared about both. God, by his grace and mercy, forgave the Ninevites when they repented, and he forgave Jonah for disobeying him, because he saw in his heart he was just trying to do the best for God's people. So we have a God who's very gracious. We even read that. Let's go back and read that verse. I think it's the end of Chapter 3. It's in there somewhere. Great verse about God being gracious. We're a little ahead of schedule. Maybe it's chapter 4. Ah, yes, chapter 4, verse 2. He, Jonah, prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. So Jonah knew how much grace God had for people when their hearts turned to him. And that's what we always have to remember, is God always will love, forgive, help his people. It's other people that are the judgmental ones. So we just have to not worry about judgmental people that are everywhere. Instead, we have to focus on God's great love. And this is another little chapter in our continuing work on the grace of God. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love, for your kindness, for the joy it's been to look at these things. We pray for a great week ahead, that the Dundons can enjoy their wonderful holiday in Hawaii. And may you continue to bless your people, and may we continue to walk with you and trust you every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.